John Faso, when we were last together, you and I were duking it out over the president and the CBO and their scoring. And I said that this president has got obviously a big problem with Obamacare and is doing anything in his power to make it not work, including now saying that by executive order, I'm getting rid of the fines, so that which American would not like to have be mandated to do anything. So, and now you're also making the point that the CBO score of what was expected to happen isn't happening. I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, one of the things that many Democrats, I think most Democrats, and also some Republicans like me have said is that they should continue to fund some of the specific subsidies that are available under the ACA to stabilize the insurance market. And indeed, while President Trump has made some comments about whether those things, those subsidies should continue, he has in fact continued to fund those. He has not removed that funding.
But you'd have to be very naive, John, not to feel, and you're not, not to feel that he's out to destroy Obamacare in any way he can.
Well, I think that, you know, I can't speak for him. All I can say is that this issue is extraordinarily contentious, as we all know, and that a better solution to what the Democrats did in 2010 and what Republicans are doing today would be to try to get some bipartisan consensus on how do we fix what doesn't work in the ACA. And there are a lot of aspects that don't work.
Well, I think the Democrats would love to have that happen.
Actually,
but they would like to keep Obamacare.
Yeah, they'd like to.
And fix it up.
Actually, most of them would like to keep the ACA and just plow more money into it. And that is not a solution that's acceptable to me, nor many other Republicans. And
but if it means 23 million people or 20 million people off the rolls, even if you're right, even if what you're saying is correct, that some of the people are paying the fine rather than doing that, and that's
sure.
All in CBO, it's still a lot of people.
Okay, so here's one of the things. I mean, the ACA made a promise to the states, expand Medicaid, and we will in perpetuity fund 90% of the costs for the people who come on to Medicaid. Now, the normal reimbursement for a state like New York, for instance, is 50% of the cost. That's what we reimburse the state for their costs for the disabled and for the elderly in nursing homes and for children who are eligible for Medicaid, for the poor. The ACA made this promise, we're going to fund you for the new people coming in at 90%. Alan, I can tell you that was not an affordable commitment.
Why not?
Because
I mean, every time we try to scare the North Koreans with sending up something that costs hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, why not take care of the people? Why not 100%?
Well, because there is not a limitless, bottomless pit of money. And as I started, I said we are in $19 trillion in debt. That's $19,000 billion. And I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of thousand million that is because my math isn't good. But these numbers are staggering, and we are on a trend that is going to be unsustainable for our country. And if we have a debt crisis in the United States where, for instance, one of the very esteemed economists, Douglas Holtz-Eakin, who used to be the head of the CBO and is well regarded on the Republican and Democratic side, he testified before us in the Budget Committee a few months ago that the second largest item in the federal budget after Social Security in 10 years is going to be interest on the debt.
Absolutely.
And if you think about this, Alan, you couldn't run your household like this, and we can't run our national government where we're basically just rolling over debt every month.
John, we're talking about health care.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to be an advocate of a single payer. I don't mind telling you. I think I'm on Medicare, and it's a wonderful program, and I love it. And, I'll be out in the streets with the tin pan.
I did see you in the tin pan alley recently.
If you guys mess with Medicare. Okay, but the point really is a country has an obligation, like most industrial societies do, and we're spending a lot of money building more submarines and more ships and the rest of it, and obviously I'm not hearing a lot of yelling about that from the Republicans.
Well, in actuality, defense is a different kettle of fish here, but if you look at our readiness, and if you look at the fact that 40% of our planes can't fly now for lack of spare parts, that our pilots are not getting the adequate hours of flight time, There are numerous our military, and this was on a bipartisan basis, Alan, Democrats and Republicans, not all the Democrats, but virtually all the Republicans, and I'd say about half of the Democrats in the House of Representatives and many in the Senate, supported the increases in national defense because they understand the grave threats that we face around the world, and they understand our readiness problems.
But why aren't you yelling about this contributing to the national debt as you are with the Medicaid? I mean, that seems to me to be somewhat inconsistent.
Alan, well, first of all, I don't spend my time yelling in Congress. I try to get things done. Secondly, all of this has to be looked at in the sense of what are we as the national government required to do? The first requirement of the national government is to provide for the common defense. It's right in the Constitution.
And the general welfare, sir.
And the general welfare. But the fact of the matter is that defense, national defense as a share of our national budget has been steadily shrinking for the last 20 years. And social spending has been steadily increasing. So look, the Medicaid side, every state would get more money under the plan that was passed in the House, more money than it got the year before. It's not going to get as much as they had expected
because
of the unaffordable promises that were made.
But, John, you made a great point about the way that the healthcare system is working and the rest. But then you go ahead and you say that our planes aren't flying because they don't have spare parts. Boy, somebody ought to be doing something about that.
Well, you know, I'm not one of these that simply says throw money at any government program, national defense or anything else. And I do think that there is a lot of waste that you could identify in Pentagon procurement, for instance, new weapon systems procurement. But I have to tell you, Alan, I have listened to some pretty expert folks on this topic, and that's why you see a consensus of Republicans and many Democrats who are willing and say it's absolutely necessary that we expand our national defense readiness. And we have critical issues that we face around the world that our national security interest depends upon. So I realize that, everyone is going to look at these things and say, well, you know, protect my sacred cow and not someone else's sacred cow in every aspect of federal spending. I don't care if it's defense or if it's health care or if it's education. Every aspect of spending has defenders.
We only have a minute. I can't get the fact that every industrial society besides ours seems to have a healthcare program that works, and you're objecting because it costs too much.
No, that's actually not the case. In fact, what I would say is that what we need to do is to engage in a real examination of how we spend our healthcare dollars.
I agree.
We're spending 19% of our GDP on healthcare, which is far beyond what most other countries spend.
Right, so we're doing it wrong. And what right would be the single payer, Medicare for all.
That actually, I don't think, would work, Alan. And as you recall, during the Obama administration, when the Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, they couldn't pass single payer. And
that's
I can
right.
tell you, as a practical matter, you couldn't pass single payer today because of the financial consequences. Look at what
And because you guys are
proposed.
In power, because Republicans would never stand for it.
Well,
they want to keep their insurance company pals happy.
Actually, Alan, if you go back to the ACA and the people that created the ACA, they received the support of not just the pharmaceutical industry, but the insurance
exactly.
industry.
Exactly. So, that was the art of the compromise.
So compromise is not a dirty word, in my view, Alan. And I think we should try to find some areas in the healthcare system today where we could come to a good faith agreement that considers the cost to the federal treasury and to the taxpayers, but at the same time puts our resources where they're most needed in the healthcare system.
Darn, we're out of time. And if you want to hear the next thing with John Faso, it'll probably be tomorrow or the next time we're on, and you'll hear the next installment of this very interesting conversation. Thank you, John.